It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. We are going to be discussing AARP's Driver Safety Smart Driver Program. And if you're a regular listener, you know this is, I haven't talked about it in a while, but this is one of my favorite programs for seniors ever. It's just, it's all good, everything about it. My guest is Phil Chin. He's got quite a varied history. He was born and raised in New York, and he and his wife, Mary Lou, moved to Maine, Yarmouth, actually, in 2006. He's been involved with AARP's Safe Driver Program as a volunteer instructor since 2013. Also volunteers for AARP's Fraud Watch as a presenter. A prolific actor and singer, he does a lot of community theater in Freeport and Portland. And as a career, he retired from CBS News in New York after 37 years as a radio writer and producer, and spent more than three decades as Charles Osgood's producer, and taught as an adjunct professor at Columbia University School of Journalism. Very impressive, Phil. Thank you so much for being on Senior Talk.
You're quite welcome.
So AARP driver safety class, gotta love it. Why did you start volunteering for this class, and specifically, and explain to me what this class entails for someone who doesn't know or who has never heard of the Safe Driver course?
Well, my story is very simple. When we moved up here, we decided to see how we can save a bit of money on the our insurance. And they said, why don't you take this course that's offered by the AARP? So we took the course, and I was so impressed by it. And my mentor, John, I said, hey, I'd like to sign up to be a volunteer. And so he signed me up, and quickly as possible, you wouldn't believe how quick the process was and painless to become an instructor, a volunteer instructor. And I was in, it took about three months, and here I am, 5 or 6 years later.
So
the class is actually very, very simple. It tells people, it informs all mature drivers that times change. We all change. Everything changes. And how do we deal with the changes so that we can continue driving for a long, long time? Because just remember, there is no legal definition about what and how we treat older drivers. Everybody has a different idea. Every state has a different idea. Every locality has a different idea on how and when people should not drive anymore. And you'd be amazed at how people are so relieved to hear that, because you are only as old as you believe you are. Just remember that, and that holds for drivers too.
And I'm sure that's comforting for some people to hear, because I know the older a driver is, if anything happens, immediately they go right to, well, she's 80, so when an accident may not even have been this person's fault. It's always targeting, oh, these older drivers are a problem. you know, and even 60-year-old drivers they worry about, which I find personally offensive. So this class, though, it's not about taking your general driver ed driver safety class. There are no, you don't do a road test, right?
This is a classroom program where we work with a DVD video and a workbook. And the workbook is divided in different sections, different topics, as is the video. And the video is a very, very, how should I say it? Entertaining video, which takes us through the different ways of recognizing change in our driving habits, recognizing how the roads have changed over the years, and how cars have changed. It's all about change. Is one of the predominant topics of the course. And once we realize that as a class, as an individual, then people will say, "Well, of course," because no one expects a professional athlete as a rookie to be the same as that professional athlete when he or she is now 20 or 30 years into her career. So what does that mean? Well, competition has to change. Expectations have to change. And also retirement comes into play for professional athletes. But think, what is more challenging than getting inside of a car, driving at these horrible speeds that you experience on 95 and 295 and all these other roads? Or how about winding your way on a snowy, icy two-lane road in the middle of Maine? An athlete you have to be. Now, what kind of athlete you are is something that only you and your loved ones and your partners and your friends can determine. And that's what we teach everybody. It takes a village to be an older, successful driver. After you stop driving, it takes a village to keep people going and realizing that there is indeed a future after you give up the keys.
This class is really a refresher course for people for just what you said, all of the things that have changed. And it's not expensive. It's, what, $20 if you're a member of AARP?
I'm going to give you a discount. If you're a member of the AARP, it's only $15. But even if you're not a member and you decide to stay not a member, it's only $20.
But you might get some of that money back because, as you said, when you started, there are insurance savings. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's a state law that if you pass this class or take this class and you're 55 or older, you get insurance discounts, driver insurance
discounts. It's mandated by the state of Maine. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but mandated by the state of Maine a few years ago that every insurance company in the state of Maine has to give you some sort of discount. Now, it's not a big discount. Don't think that they're going to give away the store in this one. But it's a significant discount so that it's worth certainly taking this course. And the discounts are good for 3 years. And then to renew that discount, all you have to do is take a course again, either with AARP or some other good organization. So it's a good program. And I tell people, and tell people especially that I've had before in my class, because I have a lot of repeat enrollees, take the course every year because it doesn't hurt to go through the evaluation process. It's a self-evaluation process of your driving skills, your driving, and your driving worries or your fears, but I'll say worries. Everybody should be at tip-top shape when they get behind the wheel, no matter what time of day, no what kind of emotional experience you've had that particular morning. You have to know what you are capable of and what you should look out for. And that's what we teach in the course. It's a very simple, simple way of knowing yourself. Know thyself is the best thing. And always expect the unexpected. Because people take for granted the experience of taking up the car keys and then opening the door and then just sliding into the behind the wheel and just taking off. They take that for granted, and it should not be a process that should be taken for granted at any time of the driving trip.
The course is offered online mostly, which is convenient for people who don't have to actually go to a specific location. It might be challenging for people who are not computer savvy. So, but I'm going to give the website.
Well, I don't think it's,
AARP.
I interrupted, and please forgive me. I'm not used to this kind of conversation. I'd rather see you in person, but.
Yes, well, I know, but so far away. AARP.org/driver safety will get you to that. And if someone's not computer savvy, ask a friend or a neighbor or your kids to do it, because I'm going to do that with my mother. She's 92. And she's a very good, she still drives, and that's why I get sensitive when people say, oh, she's getting older. She still drives. She's actually a very good driver. She's paying way too much in insurance. She told me what her insurance payment was, and I was shocked. So I wanted to try to get her a discount. So I'm going to bring her to my house with my computer, and she can take the class that way. So you can get someone to help you, even if you're not computer savvy. Have your kid bring over a laptop. The class is, about 4 hours or so? But I read online that you can you have 60 days to complete the course, so you learn at your own pace. You don't have to do it all in a four-hour sitting.
That's right. You learn at your own pace, and what's good about it is if you have to repeat a section online, it's not a big problem. one of the problems with a four-hour course is that the secret is this used to be an eight-hour course.
I remember that back in the day, yeah.
Now it's a four-hour course. And say, how can you do that? Well, we do have the same amount of material. We just don't have as much discussion time as we'd like to have. And in some cases, you need some discussion time. So that's why it's good to have it face-to-face. And I suggest that people consider both online and in-person. And if a library is the only source of aid, a library is a good person. That librarian will help you with this.
Oh, great. Someone could take it probably at the library. When we come back, we will talk more about the Driver Safety Smart Driver Program with Phil Chin. So stay with us. Lots more to come. Hi, we're back talking about AARP's Driver Safety Smart Driver course. And we were talking about that it's online, also in person, and that you can have a friend, neighbor, kid, somebody bring a laptop over and really help you take this class, learn at your own pace. There's no tests, is that right, or tested or graded?
No tests. Everybody gets an A in my class.
Nice.
Or we can put it this way. We have a pass-fail system. The only way you can fail is actually walk out of my class before it ends. But everybody who finishes the course gets a certificate of completion. Upon presenting that certificate of completion to the insurance agent, you get the discount, guaranteed.
And that is a great thing because it really does encourage people to take this class. And driving has changed so much. Just in the roads and the speeds, as you were talking about, even since 2013 when you started this, what changes have you seen or have you in the last 5 years of people driving and paying more attention to what people, older people, are seeing on the road?
Sure. Well, the most, I think, dramatic change for many people and the inclusion of roundabouts all of a sudden everywhere.
I hate those.
Because having come from New York City where there's no such thing as a roundabout, now, I know people in Massachusetts had a little more experience with roundabouts, and actually people in Great Britain have all kinds of experience with roundabouts. But here in Maine, the roundabouts seem to cause a bit of consternation. But it's the easiest thing to deal with, and also it's the safest thing. We have all kinds of numbers that show that wherever a roundabout goes in place of a four-way intersection, the amount of accidents, the amount of crashes that happen drop dramatically.
There's one in Augusta that I think it's towards the center of the city. And honestly, I think you take your life in your hands when you do that at rush hour. I did it once, and I thought I'll never do it again.
You just charge into it, right? Please. What roundabouts do, they force people to slow down, yield the right of way, and then figure out where they need to go. You see, that's the only challenge with a roundabout. You need to know where you're going before you get in there. And even if you get stuck in a roundabout, you just go around in a circle a couple of times, and that's not so bad.
Do you find that people might be hesitant about this class because they think that maybe somebody might think that they, because sometimes older people can be a little paranoid about things such as this, that someone's going to take attendance or look at tests and tell the state that, though, she didn't do very well, so she shouldn't be driving. Do you see any of that? Or am I making
that? Well, I see very little of it because I'm so admiring of the people here in Maine. They're independent. They know what they have to do, for the most part. And even if they don't are a little bit hesitant, all I have to do is just give them a couple of encouraging words, and they're there. And we've had great classes. I've had people from the age of 93 and a half down to. I've had people in their 40s who came with their parent just to give them a little support, and it's worked out very well for everybody. And these are good classes, too. I mean, of course you have some people that are there for the totally wrong reasons, but that's okay. Because just being there just to get your insurance discount is not the best reason, but it's a good reason. It's good enough. And if you're there, and most of them will come out, and I tell everybody that you finish this class and you will do one thing different that you didn't do before you came into the class, that's going to help you be a smarter, safer driver. And how can you go wrong with that?
Well, and I think frankly, everybody should take this class given what we're seeing on the roads. Although we do have a new law in Maine about handheld phones and devices and driving. Can you talk about that and what people can do and can't do?
Oh, sure. It's very simple. You've got a handheld device. Don't hold it in your hand when you're in your car behind the wheel. It's a very simple law. And when if a police person sees you with that device in your hand and you're behind the wheel, you will get the summons. And there is no warning involved. You just get a ticket. And as we all know, that ticket can be kind of expensive. I think the law says $50, but in the beginning they were charging up to $230 for a fine. But it's very clear they don't want you to be distracted. And the handheld devices, the phones, even if you're not texting or reading, just by talking to a phone that's in your hand, is distracting enough to take your eyes off the road. And traveling at the distance you travel, just remember, a couple of seconds with your eyes off the road, you've traveled maybe a football field or two, you know, and that time that you've not looking at the road.
And things can happen.
Dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Things happen so quickly. Someone could stop in front of you. If you're on 95 with a speed limit of 75 miles an hour, you certainly don't want to be looking at your phone. I read something, I don't remember where I read it, but that even if you are in the grocery store parking lot, Now, that doesn't make any sense to me. If that car's not moving, I can understand at stoplights because you can still get distracted. Oh, there's the music. When we come back, so even if you're in a parking lot, say in a grocery store or a store, you still can't use your phone. We'll be right back. You can answer that question when we come back. Stay with us. Much more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk and Phil Chin. So you read things online and do it at your own risk, but I did read online that even if you're parked in a parking lot, you can't be on your phone. And I know it's ridiculous, but go ahead and dispel that myth that somebody decided to put online.
Well, I'll even do better than that. I have a quote from a Maine State Police officer sheet here. And the question is, can I text or make a phone call if my car is pulled over and idling? And the answer is, yes, your car can be idling as long as you are in a safe, lawful location and not obstructing traffic in any way. A parking lot would certainly come in under those definitions. And certainly, there's the other thing to remember while you're in that parking lot. The parking lot is one of the most dangerous places you can be because everybody is not paying attention. Everybody in that parking lot is distracted.
It's like bedlam.
Backing out. There are passengers, there are pedestrians, all kinds of things are happening. You got to be careful. And in fact, today I almost got into a little bit of a fender bender because maybe my attention should have been more focused on the fact that someone was just cut right in back of me. So that's something for people to pay attention to.
So does this class... First, to finish that thought, so basically the new law is if the car's moving, don't touch your phone. Car moving, phone down, period. You can mount it, though. It can be mounted somewhere in the car, and you can touch it.
If it's mounted to a holder, a cradle that's attached to the car, just as long as it's not attached to your hand. Or probably any other part of your body, because I'm looking through the law right now, and maybe they some lawyer will find a loophole somewhere.
But, right. They'll have it attached to them somehow with a big clip. So that's really, it's very simple. Just keep your hands on the wheel. Stay in your lane. Don't touch your phone.
Eyes on the road.
Eyes on the road. Right. So if you're driving, that's, I know, imagine. And I, so the cars today, this is my own theory, the cars today are so advanced, and you've got backup cameras and 1,000 bells and whistles. Back in the day, I mean, even way before my time, it was harder to drive. You had stick shifts, and you had to really pay attention to what you were doing. And now cars are so easy, they literally drive themselves. And I wonder if that's encouraged us to become complacent and a little lazy in the car, that we can multitask in the car and not focus so much on driving.
Well, there's a possibility that all these warning lights, I used to call them idiot lights, will keep you out of trouble. But actually they don't, because yes, there's such a thing as forward collision warning signals and lane departure warning signals and blind spot warning signals, but you've got to be really, really on your driving game to know that these signals are there. So just think about that. And we have a program at ARP on the website right now. It's called the Smart Driver Tech Program. So if you go to ARP.org, you can get an online program. I took a couple of units already. It lets you know what's available on these new vehicles and how you can take advantage of it. Because I tell people, if your car is way, way too old that doesn't have many of these safety devices, think about upgrading. Think about getting a newer car and getting some of these safety devices that are built in.
And I think a lot of them are terrific. But if you're paying really close attention, you can be your own warning system. If you're watching what's going on around you, and being really a defensive driver, you may not need many bells and whistles to tell you that there's danger ahead.
Well,
but,
you know,
go ahead.
That's what those mirrors are for. And that's what your eyeballs are for. And just remember, the greatest safety device in your car is you, the driver, with your brain and your good common sense.
And
you are the best safety device that anyone has ever invented.
I love that, staying engaged. However, that said, some of the newer cars do have, like, the backup cameras. I only say this because I did hit a parking meter trying to parallel park. So having that backup camera, because there are blind spots. But for someone who isn't going to go buy a car with all of those bells and whistles, this class helps you cope with some of the natural aging problems that come, like stiff necks and maybe vision. We're almost out of time, but can you address some of those?
Of course. We advocate proper use of all the mirrors. We advocate good physical health. We advocate good posture. We advocate flexibility, and enables you to turn your head. When you have to change your lanes, turn your head. When you have to back out of your space, turn your head so you can see. Flexibility, good physical health, and good posture. That'll get you very far without any crashes in your future.
And the tips and tricks in this class will help with age-related changes. Phil Chin, you've been a delight to have on. Thank you so much for sharing the information about this Driver Safety Smart Driver Program from AARP. The website is aarp.org/driver safety. Again, if you're not on a computer, have your child or neighbor or friend hook you up and take this class. You'll get money off on your insurance. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thanks for listening.